Hi, thank you for downloading the Popcast podcast. This week, you get the radio interview I did with Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo from FX and the hit series Shogun. And that is followed up by the unedited, straight interview that I did with TJ Miller a couple of weeks ago. So enjoy. Hi, and welcome to the Totally Awesome Podcast. My name is Tim Andrews. I am your host. We're talking pop culture, comedy, television, movies, music. Well, you name it. If it's involved in that, I want to talk to somebody about it and then play it back for you. I have a lot of guests today. Three. In fact, two of them are show creators of one of the hottest television shows on TV right now. And then, later on in the show, comedian TJ Miller. The first guests this week are the showrunners and creators of Shogun, which you can watch right now on FX or Hulu, Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo. Shogun is an adaptation of the James Clavell book, and also, if you have a great memory, think back to 1980. There was a huge miniseries on television back when they were epic called Shogun. It's the same story. It's just done a little bit differently this time. So let's welcome my first guests tonight, Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. The show is amazing. The epic scale. It's cinematic. It's filled with incredible acting. Each episode feels like a movie, and at the end, I'm left wanting more. In fact, I'm a little behind, so I'm going to probably do the unthinkable and then just spend a Saturday binge-watching the last couple of episodes. But I wanted to say, anyway, back in 1980, I remember every home my mother took me to had a copy of the book, and then the TV guide with Richard Chamberlain holding the sword. And not everyone is as old as I am, Justin and Rachel. So, but I do want to ask, what sets this series apart from the 1980 miniseries?
Yeah, we're the generation who grew up with this on their parents' nightstands, right? And I think that we exist in its legacy. And I would say, honestly, you know, what separates this maybe from prior adaptations is just what's available to us now technologically and also in terms of audience taste, that if we're going to do this story for a modern age, that we could tell this story in an even more immersive format and, you know, with stronger sort of contemporary visuals, and largely to be able to tell the story in Japanese, yes, where the characters in this world are able to speak and perform in their own language. And you know, that audiences in the age of Squid Game and all these other great shows that come from an international place, you know, are more willing to watch it today on the scale that we are. I mean, I wish we lived in the age of only three networks where, I don't know, like 100 million people tuning in to the original. But, yeah, you know, you have to make compromises, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. You know, in the old paradigm, the epic miniseries was this huge must-see television event. You had Shogun, North and South, Roots, just to name a couple. But in a sense, it was more difficult to get a show onto a network, yet easier to get eyes on it. What's different today? How does the show compete for those eyeballs in 2024?
Great question. I think what's different today is that expectations are more complex. I think people want to be transported in new ways. They want to arrive at destinations that haven't been seen before. And the flip side to that, and the advantage to that, is simply that audiences understand it might require more of them, mm-hmm, you know, more of their participation when it comes to subtitling. If we're going to take you someplace you've never seen before, a time period you've never quite experienced, then we might need to do it in not only Japanese, but in old Japanese.
The series has a diverse cast of characters. Can you talk about the casting process and how you were able to ensure an authentic representation? That's an important word these days. And how essential was Hiroyuki Sanada in that process?
Yeah, we cast this show out of Japan, and at least insofar as we're casting the Japanese roles, working with casting partners in Tokyo to find the best actors. And as you say, Hiro-san is our not just our star, but also one of our producers, you know, was the great kind of litmus test. As we began to like certain actors for the part, I would share it with him, and he would say, you know, I think maybe that actor, the Japanese sensibility doesn't see them as a lord. Maybe they're better for this role. So we were really always in conversation back and forth. I mean, you talk about representation, which is, yeah, an important word these days. And I think for all the obvious reasons that we would say so, the other thing that doesn't get talked about enough when it comes to representation is we do it, if we're doing it right, we're doing it because it makes our stories better. It makes our stories more exciting, more surprising. It teaches us things that we didn't already know. That's how we do it at its best. You know, not just representation for its own sake, but representation because we're trying to do something new and it feels like it might change you if you show up to watch it. It might actually surprise you, tell a different kind of story with a different kind of surprise. That's really the focus of it in our minds.
When you have good historical era type television that's on a grand scale like this, you know, there are people who watch things casually and they enjoy the story and they enjoy what's going on. But then there are people like me who go to Wikipedia immediately and start looking things up. And I love accurate, emotional historical dramas. The historical era depicted in Shogun has so much cultural and political complexities going on. How did you navigate portraying that era authentically while making it accessible? And I know you kind of just touched on that a little bit, but we're talking about when European empires and their kings and queens or emperors or whatever thought that they could own the entire world. And they go to a place like Asia, over in Japan or in China, and they're like, well, we're going to convert all of them to our brand of Christianity. At the time, there were two major brands. And then they encounter a people like the Japanese who say, no, you're the barbarians. You know, that there's a lot to think about when you're watching a show like this.
Now that we're kind of at this stage in the game in which we get to look back on the writing of it, the production of it, we think how profoundly we did not know what we didn't know.
Right. We weren't taught that. We weren't taught any of that.
Yeah. We weren't taught that. We weren't taught Japanese history. We also weren't aware of how you even go about telling a story like this. How do you, you know, it's all good and fine to read an incredible book and to be quite enamored by this large cast of characters, but we didn't know how to actually do this show. And we had to learn how to tell the show and build the mechanism as we were using it. And I think that how you approach it is kind of what Justin always made his kind of his mantra, which is just invite the right people into the room.
Yeah.
Make sure your collaborators are spiritually aligned with your vision, but make sure that you are allowing them to tell the story through their own lens and their own experiences.
I much prefer that to anything with English overdubs. You know, Squid Game was, you know, I like watching actual people speak. And the same with this. And especially when the language is measured and none of the words that the Japanese characters are saying are wasted words, if that makes any sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's something that weighed heavily on us, that we were very aware that, you know, while the Japanese audience could be watching it in their own language, that audiences all around the world are mostly watching it through the medium of subtitles. And so we always wanted to be respectful of that, of like not having characters, you know, kind of just run their mouth off for so long that you spend more time reading than looking at their faces, that, you know, we wanted to punctuate the silences. I think that's a very rewarding experience when you put your trust into your actors like that, to perform with their faces more than they're performing even with their words. Though it's nice to have the words on the bottom of the screen just to make sure we're following everything that's going on.
But
it was definitely a buy-in to say, like, let's do this differently.
We worked on the subtitling almost as long, or maybe longer, than even it took to shoot the show.
Yeah, it took a long time to sort of scrutinize that, you know, we wanted the audience to know that if you're seeing these words on screen, they're not an afterthought. They're something that we very carefully measured, even the placement of where they are relative to the face, even the color, where they break, where they appear, where they disappear, you know, so that it was creating an experience that felt very close to being inside of these characters' heads.
Now, 2 points. Getting the language accurate because it's a global audience. You want the people who live in Japan who are going to watch the show to feel that it's accurate and true to their culture. And you can tell that it was a labor of love and a labor of accuracy. And I just can't say enough about it. It's just one of those shows that comes out and you're glued from the first, I don't know, 30 seconds of the show. There's just so much going on historically, and I appreciate the opportunity that you've given people like me to explore history that we weren't really aware of.
Well, thank you. You know, it's a testament, I think, to the great work also of our Japanese producers and partners on this project, that they put so much of themselves into this show, you know, knowing that what comes from them is very different for a Western audience. And that's the magic. You know, I don't want to turn on the TV to see something I've seen before.
Right.
I want to turn on the TV and hope that something is going to really change me and make me think, you know, like I'll look back on that. You know, when you mention the original miniseries and what's different, I mean, it's just our only hope. Like, it's any show's greatest hope that someone is still talking about it in 44 years.
Yeah.
Positive or negative, you know, that it had such an impact that people can still talk about it. So we'd be lucky to get there. So, you know, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Shogun airs Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. on FX, or you can watch it on Hulu. There are 3 episodes remaining, which gives you plenty of time to get caught up if you have yet to experience it. I want to thank both of you for taking the time to talk to me today. And Rachel, Justin, much success in the future.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Tim.
All right, don't go away, because the rest of the show, comedy. T.J. Miller, comedian, actor, has a brand new comedy album out called Smooth Peanut Butter. We'll talk to him about that and much more on the Totally Awesome Podcast with Tim Andrews. Hello, T.J. Miller. I just had to shut up. Gortberger.
Yay!
Yes.
That's how I know you and I are on the same page, I'll tell you what.
We are on the same page. I spent the weekend doing a review of the episodes and laughing, so.
Oh, my God, it's so fun. We were going to bring that back. Gortberger is a giant space alien. And wait, are we on the air or nay?
No, we're not live. I'm recording, so this is fine.
Okay. Gortberger is a giant space alien monster, and he's come down and took over a Japanese game show and killed half of the people and enslaved the others so that he can have his own interview show to interview musicians and pop culture icons. And it's on YouTube, and then we did one season for Comedy Central. And we're going to bring it back as a Sirius XM video podcast. But we found out that Viacom doesn't want us to do that. They want these crazy high fees. And so right now we're working on the fact that the backstory is Gortberger sends his nephew to Earth to continue everything that his nephew has to do and, you know, complete the mission, because Gortberger is stuck in another dimension, taken prisoner by the evil empire Ziacom. And his nephew, we're thinking maybe his name is Tregor or Corpy, and he's going to start a video podcast with Sirius XM. And so that should be a lot of fun. We're pretty excited about that. But yeah, I appreciate so much that you're into that, because boy, is it funny. I mean, it's just the craziest thing that's ever been.
When you're a Gen Xer, as I am, in your early 50s.
As I am, too.
And you didn't have a kid until you were 50 years old. You know, the last decade, I did an awful lot of weed smoking and living alone and watching things that made me laugh. So that's right up there in my alley.
It is right up there in your alley.
Not so much.
I love that. We're closer friends than I even could have imagined.
Oh, I'm glad. I spent the weekend also enjoying Smooth Peanut Butter, which is your new comedy album, and I love that it's a comedy album. Like, I picture myself walking down to Radio Shack right next to Wild and Crazy Guy, which I bought with my own money, and I just love comedy albums, and I think it's great. A brand new one out on all platforms, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and it was a lot of fun. You recorded it at Zany's in Nashville, Tennessee. When did you record it?
Can I just say really quickly that I think we are already good friends?
I hope we are.
Because the weed smoking, the having kids much later in life, and all that kind of business, that's right up my alley. And I worked at Radio Shack.
You worked at Radio Shack. Did it sell records still?
No, it was more into the batteries and transistors. But my favorite album was Wild and Crazy Guy by Steve Martin. And the ones that I always mention are Let's Get Small and Comedy Is Not Pretty.
Yeah.
And those, yeah, I listened to those albums growing up. That's why it's so cool to have a comedy album. I mean, the idea that I would ever have one, this is my first stand-up comedy album with an independent label, and it's been 8 months in the making. And yeah, just like sitting and listening.
Yeah,
you know, it's just so cool to kind of listen to a comedy album all the way through. And that's what I recommend people do. And it's spinning on Sirius XM tonight, a full spin at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's March 11th. But yeah, I mean, it's so fun. And just to go on Spotify or Apple Music and just give it a listen all the way through, I think it's the way to do it.
Do you still listen to old albums? I still do.
Yeah, it's so funny because I've pulled my favorite albums from our record collection. So vinyl stuff for me to reference when I'm talking about all this stuff. But yeah, I listen to the old albums. We have a full record collection, although our record player is on the fritz. So I don't know what the deal is with that. I mean, it's just, there's something about vinyl and there's something about listening. And as I was preparing to do this, I listened to a lot of comedy albums. So not just sort of the stuff that, you know, I used to listen to when I was growing up. I was also listening to a lot of people's, just a lot of like current albums of people who I like, and Paul F. Tompkins and Brent Weinbach. And there's just so many great, great people, even Anthony Jeselnik. And to listen to an album all the way through, you know, for me, for a comedy album, that's kind of the coolest way to do it.
Yeah, I have the ones for when I'm traveling, the ones for when I'm walking. And then usually at night, after I give it a couple of days, I'll listen to Mitch Hedberg's Strategic Grill Locations. That'll help me fall asleep.
Yes, dude, I for sure was just listening to that, like, last week.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool.
Sometimes a little Todd Berry if you, you know, really need to get to sleep fast, but
yeah, he has a very soporific tone to everything that he does. So yeah, I get that 100%.
I told him that once after a show in Atlanta, and I think he got offended at first, so I had to really double down and explain, no, I love them. They're just nice and easy to go to sleep to. I can't have music. It's too much.
I love that you're trying to backtrack on that, and he probably was like, oh, so my comedy puts you to sleep? Is that the idea?
That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said.
Oh, my God. Come on, Todd. You got to know about yourself. I know that I sound sick all the time, and that's why Mucinex wanted me to work with them for so long.
That's right. You were the Mucinex. Well, you were a booger or a snot?
I was a booger. I think a booger is a good way to put it. Yeah, I was a booger. And again, that's how I got involved in hot sauce. So I owe a lot to that booger, I'll tell you what.
Kind of like Gilbert owed a lot to the duck.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, he was the best.
I know.
It was such a tragedy when you make a joke and the corporations don't get it. I don't know. You're hiring a comedian. I don't know what the deal is behind that.
No, you get what you pay for. And they got, all he had to say was Affleck. I mean, it's not like he
destroyed
the company.
That's true, too, yeah.
Right.
Whereas I had to talk and sound sick. That's a balancing act if ever I've heard of one.
So,
I don't know, man. I feel so fortunate to have done as much as I've done. And it's really cool because people are really starting to get behind my stand-up comedy and really start to understand that I'm sort of an actor, but kind of a stand-up comic and improviser first. That's sort of what I'm all about, you know?
Well, that kind of takes you to the tour that's going on. And before we get to that, if people want to go check out a lot of your stand-up, not just the current album, they can go to your YouTube channel. There's a full special there called Dear Jonah. And then a lot of the samples of the crowd work that you do, I'm assuming that it's crowd work since the name of the tour you're on is the Crowd Sorcerer Tour. Now, you don't, like, put them all in a spell. Are you doing crowd work the whole show?
No, but I'm sourcing a lot of comedy from the crowd.
Okay.
And so it's less crowd work, and it's more me sort of riffing and doing that whole thing. And, you know, I don't know. I just think improvising is so fun for me and so fun for the audience. And, yeah, if you go to my – to really get a sense of it, if you go to my YouTube channel, there's about three specials, maybe four – that are completely improvised. In Spokane, one of the Stanley Hotel in Colorado Springs, where the inspiration for The Shining was.
Mm-hmm.
It is The Shining Hotel. And you'll see that I sort of riff, and it's not really, hey, where are you from? What do you do for a living? hey, where are you from? What do you do for a living? It's very different from that. It's just, I'm talking about the crowd. I'm talking to the crowd. I'm also just riffing on stuff that happened to me on the way there, all that kind of stuff. So it's really, all of it's new and all of it's improvised. And there's not a lot of comedians who can do that. You mentioned Todd Barry. He's incredible at crowd work for sure. But I don't think he's really riffing about things, talking about things for the first time that day. Because I'm one of the few people that does that. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do. But all those specials on YouTube are great. And the one at the Stanley Hotel is 100% improvised. The one in Spokane is 100% improvised. And then I do have a crowd work special in that was in Springfield, Missouri, a place called the Blue Room. And that's a lot of fun, too. But that's almost entirely crowd work. And it's a lot of fun also. But there's plenty of great stuff to see on my channel.
And also people can go to TJMillerDoesNotHaveAWebsite.com, which is your website, and check all the dates for the Crowd Sorcerer Tour. Closest to Atlanta that I see are Greenville, South Carolina, and Charlotte. But no Atlanta date. Is there any chance one could get at it?
Yes, of course. I think early next year is going to be when I come back to the Atlanta Punchline. And I am kind of in talks to, like, switch out a date to go to Atlanta. But all that can be found on my website, and also I announce dates on my Instagram and Facebook. Teenage Millionaire is the Instagram handle, because that's kind of how I dress.
Yeah.
If you listen to Smooth Peanut Butter, then you really will kind of get a sense of what you're going to see in real life.
Now,
it is crowd work, but it's also stories and, you know, pretty fun stuff.
Oh, it was great. It's crowd work. It's stories. It's talking about the stuff we all had to, I want to swear, but I can't, all the stuff that we can relate to if we were all alive and living from 2020 to 2021 through the beginning of 2022, all that stuff we had to go through, and doing it in a way where, like, you're not picking sides, you're not, you know, going one way or the other way, you're just talking about it as somebody who works as a comedian and somebody who has a job, which we can all relate to. So I found it fun.
Yeah, 100%. And one of my favorite stories from that, and thank you again for listening to it, is I'm sort of improvising, and then I get to a story about how in college I had a Razor scooter, you know?
Yeah.
It just is so ridiculous. But I thought it was so cool, and no one else had one. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't believe no, because I get to class right away. I don't have to leave till a minute or two beforehand. And so that's how I could do a couple of tricks with it. So I thought I was really the man, you know. I thought I was the real mother-er.
Yeah.
And see, I'll sort of bleep out my own stuff. And so I one night I went to a party, and there was this really cute girl. And I walked up to her. I kind of gathered up my courage. I walked up to her, and I said, hey, I just want to introduce myself. You seem cool. My name's TJ Miller. And she goes, oh, yeah, you're the Razor scooter guy. And that was the last time I ever rode a Razor scooter. So it's just fun stuff like that. It's really a lot of fun within the album. So,
well, great.
I'm excited about it, man. It's been 8 months in the making.
Now, I don't know. Alan didn't tell me how much time I have with you. I have a couple more questions. Do we have a little more time, or you got to go?
Yeah, we do, in fact. This is one of the few times that I don't have to jump for just a little bit. So.
Awesome. All right. Now, a lot of comedians are selling branded consumables. Like, oh, recently a couple of comedians were walking onto sets at the Super Bowl trying to push their vodka on everybody. I won't say who. But I have to talk about yours because it's unique. I've never seen a comedian do this. I thought if a comedian were to do it, it'd be Greg Warren, since he talks about working for Procter & Gamble. But you have a crafted peanut butter called TPB&J. First of all, how can I get some? Okay, it's this awesome-looking peanut butter that you're selling and giving away to people, I saw.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my merch afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And it is, I'm sort of making fun of that idea, kind of the idea of TPB&J, the Yeah, I just thought it was so funny. So I made up.
It is.
Yeah, kind of making fun of it. It's like if you're doing vodka and stuff like that, everybody does that.
I know, and it's all the same. And, it all comes from the same vat.
Yeah, exactly. And I did, you know, it's people are doing vodkas, people are doing just stuff that everybody else is doing, T-shirts, everything. And so I wanted to do merch that was different. So I had my own line of hot sauce, and that went so well. All this is available on Amazon. That went so well that I decided I love peanut butter, so I'm going to do my own line of peanut butter, and it's really great. It's called Tea PB&J Peanut Better, and again, you can get it on Amazon. I've got three different flavors, dark chocolate coconut, that's for the ladies, you know, and then I like that you said,
By the way,
cherry chocolate.
Peanut butter is not good for use in sex. I'll just put that out there.
Let's put it that way.
With humans.
Or if it is with humans, keep it on the feet.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. Keep it on the feet. So I have cherry chocolate with real dried cherries and honey roasted peanuts and milk chocolate. And then my favorite is Toffee Crispy with toffee, milk chocolate, and Rice Krispies.
Yum.
And that is just so good.
Yum, yum, yum. Yeah, I just saw it, and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And then I was looking over your social media stuff, and I was looking at X. And this was yesterday, I believe, and there was nothing there since last fall. And then all of a sudden, I look an hour later, and you're back, and somebody was wiping it on their knee, and you were doing a contest. I'm like, I would have done that to get a free jar of that peanut butter.
I mean, you know what? I have a feeling that we're going to send you some of our peanut butter anyway. You might not have to enter the contest.
I have a kid, but I can't afford stuff.
Yeah, so then that's why I'll send you some stuff. That's the right way. It is. Oh, God, formerly Twitter, I'm never going to call it X, but formerly Twitter locked me out for like so long. So I became a Threads guy. But I'm a peanut butter guy.
Right.
And so, I'll do contests every so often and get people some stuff. But if you come and see a show, that's kind of my merch afterwards, is that type of stuff and not necessarily T-shirts. It's really fun, man. Like, I kind of like messing around with people because it's, you know, that's all of this is so ridiculous to me. So why not match that level of ridiculousness?
I think it is a parody of things that other people do. Everybody has CDs and shirts and stuff like that. Not everybody, but a lot of people do. But to take it to that,
sure.
I got peanut butter, bitch. Here, buy some peanut butter.
I got peanut butter, bitch, and I got hot sauce to boot. And next up is pickle.
That's right.
And become the Paul Newman of comedy.
There you go. And you'll be in every organic aisle. Now, also earlier today, I listened to the most recent episode of your podcast. And
Cashing in with TJ Miller.
Yeah. And I love the whole living in the woods thing and talking about being a vegan. And I guess peanut butter is veganism. You can eat peanut butter if you're vegan, right? It's not made with anything.
You can, but you can't eat mine because it has milk chocolate. So that was a really strange sort of situation. But yeah, you can eat peanut butter. And I was vegan for how long? 5 weeks. Yeah, what am I talking about? I know that.
Yeah.
5 weeks. And about 3 or 4 days in, you are so hungry for protein. Your body can't understand what's happening. And so I was for a couple of days, I was finishing almost a full jar of peanut butter, and I would eat it out of a bowl with pistachios mixed in. And that was the only way I could get the protein that I needed.
That's rich.
To like make it through to the next day. And so, yeah, I ate a lot of peanut butter during the veganism. But my podcast, everybody should tune in, Cashing In with TJ Miller. And it's just great. It's my buddy, Cash Levy, has an interview show, but he has a tough time getting guests. And so I'm the only guest he's had in 7 years. But it's worth checking out. It is really funny.
It is worth checking out. I love podcasts. Do you listen to any that are
you know, I have so little time.
Yeah.
That when I get into it, it's always boring stuff, like about Bitcoin or that kind of stuff. But I love I kind of love being Ian with Jordan. It's a really new podcast, although I think Jordan may have quit. So I try and dip into podcasts that my friends do and stand-up comedians do, but I'll do a lot of podcasts. So like Robert Kelly has, you know what, dude? And I love that. So I listened to a bunch of that before I did the podcast. But yeah, I kind of make appearances and I'll check out what the deal is with that particular podcast beforehand. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of busy making food stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're branching out.
Trying to. I love it. I'm doing what people refer to as way too many things.
Yeah. But that's good though. And it keeps you busy. You're not idle. Like, I can get idle and then it's just my kid and I playing with Matchbox cars. But that's also fun. And when he can speak fully, I'm going to do a show with him and let him ask questions.
Oh, I would love that. Such a funny idea. Yeah, you got to do that. Cash had a podcast with his eldest son for a long time called Sushi Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, about when he was sort of six and seven. So I can't. I'll tune into your podcast at the very least.
Thank you. Yeah, this is fun. I love talking to comedians, especially comedians that I'm fans of. And so having a relationship with Alan, you know, I get to talk to you. I got to talk to Dusty Slay a couple of weeks ago.
He's so funny.
He's funny, man. And just letting it expand. So that's why I'm just in a long way, not losing the thread, but thanking you for giving me a little extra time because.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. And I think now that I've talked to you, I think Alan, who's my radio publicist, I think he tried to slot you in so that I did have like a good, 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. You make me laugh, and I want everybody again to check out the new album, especially if you're a fan of Comedy Records. It's called Smooth Peanut Butter, and you can get it on any audio platform. But you said something about XM, so say that again, Sirius XM.
Sirius XM, they're doing a full spin tonight, March 11th at 9 p.m., so you can tune into that. But it'll be playing. I always request, if you want to, on Sirius XM. But, yeah, it's available on Spotify and pretty much anywhere, Apple Music, anywhere that you can stream things. And I just have one more question for you, Tim. You ready?
Absolutely.
What will be the name of your podcast with your son?
Oh, man. Well, it'll have to... have to have his name, which is Gilbert. So
I like it.
Yeah, I haven't. I just have an idea in my head. I was gonna do one where it's a video podcast, but I like audio medium so much that I don't particularly care if there's video.
Yeah, agreed. And that kind of makes it different nowadays.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll think about it too. But I don't know. Maybe it's Timbert.
Timbert. See, I'm writing that down.
Or Gillum.
Gillum? Gil Tim or Gil Im? Gil Im.
Gil Tim. How about Gil Tim into podcasting?
Yeah. You're helping me. This is amazing. See, I could tell
you. Trying to, man. I'm excited to listen to it. So there you go.
Will you be the first guest? He'll have a lot of questions.
Yes, I would love that. I seriously would love that.
What's your favorite car? You like Cars a movie? Cars?
I do. Yeah, I'll talk about cars with them. That's a great way to do it.
Do you like Tonator? I showed him a video of Larry the Cable Guy reading the lines, and he got mad. He goes, "No, that's not Mater. No.
Yeah, no. That's right. That's sometimes you don't want to tell people that I'm Gene Meh or Fred from Big Hero 6.
Yeah,
because it'll just blow their mind. They're like, "No, you're not animated."
Uh-uh.
I'm like, "Okay, all right."
No.
Fair enough.
Hey, do you want to plug any social media or anything, or just hit the website again?
TJ Miller does not have a website.com. Teenage Millionaire on Instagram, and then Not TJ Miller for YouTube. Get on there, subscribe, guys. There's so much funny stuff up there, and a new special gets released every month, clips all the time. Not TJ Miller on TikTok, and Not TJ Miller on formerly Twitter. Basically, I'm Not TJ Miller.
Awesome. That's a great way to go.
But if I meet him, I'll let him know.
All right. And hopefully Gore Berger will be returning, or his nephew will be returning in the near future.
Oh, his nephew's coming down from that dimension. It's going to get fun. He barfs when he gets excited.
TJ, I'm glad we became friends on this interview, and I hope I get to speak with you in the future. And when you come to town, I will be there, and I will buy peanut butter.
I love it. Guilt him into doing a podcast. The first episode, you and I will smoke weed and teach your son all about that.
Definitely, and we won't tell Mom about it.
No, definitely not.
Thanks, TJ.
All right, Tim. Thank you so much.